Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
There. Our house is a forest. Come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wallin, where two hikers are just trying to escape the wildfires of love. We're here to share our stories of dating, parenting, and what happens when you record it all for the world to see. Always, always at the top of the episode, we want to thank those patrons out there for giving $1, $2, $5 a month. That is also where you can go see the documentary We're Pregnant and Other Lies. You can check out the link to the Patreon in the episode notes if you just scroll down. So, let's jump right in. First off, how are you doing today?
Man, I got coffee this morning without you, and it felt very strange. Amber had to do some workout, and so I took the baby on my own for our morning walk, and it just didn't feel the same without you. So I'm feeling pretty sad this morning.
Really?
I got to miss out on a morning walk with you, yeah.
Yeah, but you weren't motivated by me, like, putting in those reps at the gym.
No, because I didn't see you putting in the reps on the gym.
That's true.
No.
I gotta show you the videos.
Yeah.
Gym culture is so funny to me. I think because it's so like, muscles, man, there's always someone doing something that baits people to start a fight with them. Like somebody today at the gym was wearing this shirt that says like, I love America and I love Kanye West. And I was kind of like, you know, you're just kind of, it's like, sure. But you could tell they were like looking around, waiting for somebody to say something. And everybody's like, we're just trying to get our summer bodies. Yes, yes. But you can see those people that like to bait people into things. You have a splash of that in you. You're not obviously going to wear anything insane, like a intense shirt like that. But what do you think that is? Like, do they just want like a fight that day? Are they bored? They're trying to go viral, you said?
Yeah, they're trying to get viral, you know? How do you feel about white people wearing like a black person on themselves?
Are you referring to yourself today?
Maybe.
For those of you who cannot see, what are you doing? Watch our YouTube. But for those of you who are maybe listening to this in your car, washing your dishes, Ben is currently wearing a shirt with Grace Jones on it. I love the shirt. Can I explain how I actually feel about this?
Yeah.
And you can tell me, like, you're just racist and this is nonsense. This is how I feel. When a white person is wearing a t-shirt of a black icon that maybe didn't get their flowers, who is still alive, I like that.
Got it.
Okay, so for example, Grace Jones is somebody who's very like androgynous and she's a woman, but she has these like huge strong muscles and we've gone to her concert together and you know how much she means to me. So obviously I don't mind you wearing a Grace Jones shirt. But when I see white people out and about wearing like a Malcolm X shirt, I'm kind of like,
A Booker T. Washington shirt?
Booker T. Washington. I think that's fine. It's just the
Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, but it would make me do a double take if somebody was just at the beach. It also depends on what they're doing. Like I know that sounds cringy, but like a white dude wearing a Frederick Douglass on his shirt and he's just like laughing at brunch and being loud. It's kind of like annoying.
What about the words of a black person? Like fuck this shirt. Like fuck this shit. Nat Turner, which was a shirt that the Silver Room in Hyde Park, they sold these shirts.
Yeah, yes. I remember those. And you had one, too.
Yeah, I had one. How do you feel about that?
I think they work at certain functions. Like, if you got invited to the cookout and you rocked your shirt, sure. If you're going to some screening that night, but...
If I go to the gym to bait someone to go viral... You know, like
yeah, that's kind of cringy, but I don't know. I could just be like, you're policing what people are wearing.
Is gym culture more conservative as far as the kinds of people who go there?
I don't think so. I think it's
conservatives work out more or do liberals work out more? Who cares more about their muscles? Conservative men? Who's more insecure? Probably conservative men.
I don't. I don't don't think it's like that. Well, maybe where I'm going, I guess it also depends on how much that gym costs. Because if you're going to like a 24-hour fitness that's like not super expensive, obviously you're going to get tons of different people from different social
conservatives
classes.
Conservatives are poorer, you're saying?
No, I'm just saying like you might, if you go to a bougier gym, you might get more conservative people there. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I would guess.
I feel like rich white liberals are like the gym people.
Maybe. I haven't thought about the political ideological breakdown of the gym.
But yeah, what?
You want to start the show?
Yeah, I mean,
this is funny. We kind of did start the show.
We're rolling in the show right now.
We ain't touched this outline, but I'm enjoying having this conversation with
you. All right, so I need to understand black people on a shirt. So there's black words, black. Yeah, what do y'all think? Should a white person wear a black person on their body to show that they're cool with black people?
Well, see, for example, Grace Jones is like, while she represents like femininity and masculinity and all the entities, she's also a musical artist and an actor.
So you're less.
So that's
you're
that
down
for me is
music.
Fine. Like if you're rocking a Drake shirt versus an MLK shirt, it just holds different weight. Like if you're rocking a political activist on your shirt, Asada Shakur.
Yeah.
Like if you have them on your shirt, you're almost begging me to ask. And then you're out there just like playing volleyball. I am curious.
What about
like,
if I was playing like a more traditional black sport?
Like you're out there playing basketball, like one of your props for rocking your Tupac shirt. Even Tupac can get interesting.
Yeah,
blur the lines, right?
Because of the activism. Person. Tupac is more political now than he is a musician, right? I feel like maybe.
Yeah. I also think that it's cooler that like you're a dude and you fuck with Grace Jones versus like. Remember that time you were trying to wear that like Muhammad Ali jersey and I was like, you don't like sports. He's a big kind of activist. Like I was like, this is weird that you're wearing this.
Oh, I guess there's
you
an
see how that's
yeah,
kind of weird. I don't
yeah.
know.
Well, for me, I love the Silver Room in Hyde Park, and that's another shirt I got from the Silver Room. They're a small business and I wanted to support them, right?
I like that.
And it was like designed specifically for the Silver Room.
For sure.
And a lot of those shirts are designed from the owner of the Silver Room. So I would be walking around wearing his shirt and he'd see me. He's like, oh, he's like, you like that shirt? I'm like, yeah, this shirt's great. He's like, I designed that. I was like, oh man, that's awesome. So it was
just cringy of like, you're the white dude with the black girlfriend and then you're rocking the Muhammad Ali shirt. It's like, it's too
much.
It is
so cringy.
But I mean, I'm saying this to say like, if I saw a white person rocking a shirt with like W.E.B. Du Bois, I wouldn't stop them in the street. I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. I would think it's
would
interesting if they
in
were
the
also rocking like George Washington too. Like I'd be like, ooh, that's a little interesting.
This is how woke I am though, because this shirt I'm wearing says Space is the Place.
Yeah.
And Space is the Place is actually the name of an album by Sun Ra, and it's actually a visual album, super dope. I think you can watch it free on YouTube.
Yeah. So you want people to ask you about your shirt.
Oh yeah. I wanna proselytize to the world. It's the evangelical in me. I believe in something. I got to share it with everybody.
I think I saw like a white girl wearing a shirt that had like Sade on it. And I was like, I love it. Like, I think it just depends.
It's like,
let me know what y'all think.
It's black person by black person.
Yes. Because you know what? We do have different opinions on things.
What about a Kanye West shirt now? How would you
like what I saw today?
A white person wearing a Kanye West shirt now is giving white supremacy.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Except apparently Kanye likes Jewish people now. He recently watched 21 Jump Street.
Oh.
And he's like, Jonah Hill made me like white people now.
He only recently watched the remake of 21 Jump Street?
I think so. He's like, wow, this movie is so good that now I appreciate Jewish people now. So he is no longer anti-Semitic, and 21 Jump Street did it. So I think, if you know any white supremacists out there, send them a digital copy or a hard copy of 21 Jump Street.
What is a hard copy? A DVD?
Yeah, a hard copy. It's a DVD or a videotape. Can you get
Everyone watch 21 Jump Street. That'll heal the world.
Actually, what the fuck, dude? Like, really?
That's weird.
That is... I don't understand.
I mean, that's where we are now. Okay, do you want me to talk about this?
Everything is politicized now.
Speaking of things... Okay, this is really fun and We're recording this episode a little bit early, so this might be old news by next week. But I still think it's fun to talk about. I want to confirm. I am not a journalist, so I might mix up some facts of this, but the sentiment still rings true. So Saucy Santana, we love, huge queer icon rapper. And Saucy Santana was booked to perform at a nonprofit show, still for money. Still, I think it was like a 25K fee for Saucy to perform. Saucy did not show up to this. Apparently, Saucy missed her or his flight and was not able to make it. But Saucy also, in addition to supposed to perform, submitted a rider. Every entertainer has a rider.
Well, yeah, what's a rider?
A rider is like, here are a list of things I need in my dressing room and I need to be comfortable while I'm performing here because I can't travel with all of my things. So here are things I need to really be in my element to give you the best show possible. Maybe I need these things before the show or after, but a rider is like basically a list of items you need. And there's always rumor about like celebrities having like insane riders. Like Mariah Carey won't eat the green M&M's. So you should pick them out. Or like, I've like Trey Songz or somebody wanted like 20 dozen roses delivered to the room, maybe to throw out to the audience. So I see sometimes this writer might look insane, but it's what I need to feel comfortable performing. So
it's giving wealth inequity.
So here's the thing about it. So what do you mean wealth inequity?
When you read some of these writers that, you know, these celebrities want, you're like, literally, man, or even just hearing 25K, yeah, that was cheap for a show. 25K is the average of American, like, you know, wealth or whatever. It's like 50K a year. I think it's less than 50K. So you want 25K for a single day that is half the salary of most people in the United States.
Wait, so do you have a problem with the I haven't. Are you having a problem with the rider or the fee for the
I think just
perform?
Any rider is weird. Just show up with some water and a Subway sandwich. You're
fine. But what if you have dietary restrictions? What if you're going to be asked to be there for a meet and greet after? What if you get headaches? What if you have allergies that break out? I don't think a rider is that ridiculous to say like, hey, this is basically a mini hotel room that I need you to stock with things because I might need to be there all day.
All right, sure. But
I know
just
I would
the
need
green
some stuff M&Ms. On my rider. Yeah.
Come on.
That's a little picky. That's a little
like
sticky.
A dozen roses. Like, you don't need. Do you need this really to perform some music?
I feel like it could be a part of the show. I don't know. I'm not caping for the celebs. I'm just saying sometimes a rider makes sense. I want to say this to say that they leaked Saucy Santana's rider.
This nonprofit organization.
This nonprofit. They leaked it when Saucy didn't fulfill the, you know, didn't do the show, which I actually think is a huge violation of privacy. I know that sounds funny, but like, what if I had like Monistat on my rider because I had a yeast infection or something, and now you just leak that to everybody? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, couldn't some interesting information come out of a rider?
Oh, for sure.
Like, somebody can be like, "Dang, like, what's going on with your diet?" Like that opened you up.
Yeah.
What if you just had a hair transplant or something and you needed like cold presses for your hair, but you didn't share it with people?
It's giving unprofessional.
It's giving very unprofessional. Nonprofit. It's giving nonprofit. So I say all this to say, let's check out some of the things that were on this rider for the hospitality part, not for the show.
By the way, I work for a nonprofit, so I like to make fun of them.
What nonprofit did you work for? This is news to me.
The Episcopal Service Corps.
Oh, yes. Did you submit your rider to them and they didn't meet it?
No, I'm just saying a lot of these organizations, you know, front themselves as being nonprofit, but they're run by very, very wealthy people. And it's the concept is like nonprofit for profit. So taking advantage of young workers for little to no pay. I sort of hate nonprofits.
Okay, so good. So you're on their side, not Saucy's.
I know.
And you're on Saucy's side.
I'm on Saucy's side. This is terrible. You should not leak a rider to anybody.
You shouldn't leak a rider, but also, like, if you miss a flight, you need to make sure you get there. Like, that's not cool. Okay, what's on the rider? We got one bottle of Clase Azul. I guess it's just very expensive tequila. Two bottles of 1942 or Don Julio. So this is going on three bottles of alcohol now. 12 cans of Red Bull, a case of Fiji water. I still think these are all reasonable. One case of Coca-Cola, an orange juice, an apple juice, an assorted fruit platter. This is where it gets fun. Popeyes, box of legs, box mixed with legs, wings, breasts, white and dark meat, biscuits, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, gravy, and fries. A handheld electric fan. I get that as a postpartum queen. Vaseline cocoa butter gel. This is the blackest list ever. Degree deodorant spray. The women's. 12 black handheld towels in the dressing room and on stage. 3 hookah flavors. Blueberry, vanilla, blueberry, mint, and watermelon. And 50 buffalo wings mild in to-go boxes.
What's wrong with this?
ground transportation, things
what's,
like that.
I don't understand what's wrong with this writer.
It's just black as hell, and it's funny. It's this, black this and gay like, as hell. It's very gay.
This
and
sounds
very black
like
and
your brother's birthday party.
Like right down to the women's deodorant spray. Like Popeyes, we need cocoa butter, butter gels.
I feel like for Saucy Santana, this is completely reasonable.
Me too, because you can't fly with all these liquids as well. Like the
Fuck
Red
this
Bulls,
nonprofit.
The Fiji.
They were trying to do something. Like, look, this is ridiculous.
Like, look at all these Popeye's chicken this black person wanted. I'm like, dang, like, why can't we just like a little fried chicken? You were tearing some fried chicken up yesterday, and I was like, let that
really
be my black
great.
Ass.
We went to a place called The Kettle in Manhattan Beach.
Yes.
It was really good. I was like, this, and it just fell off. You know, a lot of fried chicken, you
oh,
have to
the
sort
meat
of,
fell off the bone.
Yeah,
I
the meat
meant, like,
was just falling. Yeah, the meat was just falling off. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Popeyes. I like the Popeyes hot chicken sandwich, but that's about it. I don't like the Popeye fried chicken. It's a little bit too bready for me. But like,
what would be on your rider, baby?
My rider, I mean, childcare. You know, yeah. you gotta get a bring me a babysitter.
But would you ask for like a pack and play?
I would ask for like my actually alcohol choice would be way more bougier than this. Like this is stuff you can get at a liquor store.
Right,
I'd be asking
so
people
too.
To go to like a private wine shop. I want a Beaujolais imported from France. It
here we go.
2018. That's what I would need like three bottles of it
and a DVD copy. Of 21
I want
Jump
a red
Street.
And white DVD copy of 21 Jump Street. Come on. No, VHS, please.
Would you ask her? I mean, and also, some of this stuff is like, I need towels. I'm a sweater. I know, I'm a very
He's
sweaty
trying to
person.
Eat healthy as well. Assorted fruit platter.
It was a fruit platter that was solicited as well.
Apple juice, orange juice. This is not ridiculous.
The hookah flavors?
I don't smoke, but I feel like blueberry vanilla and blueberry mint and watermelon. Watermelon seems like a very common flavor. I
yes.
feel like you could get these at anywhere. This is not ridiculous. This is literally, I could go yes. and get out. You know what? I should start being a writer collector. Like just people
so
send me a writer.
Yes.
Saucy Santana, if you hear this, I will work for you.
Saucy.
I will get your writer anytime that you need. I will follow you and get, this is easy. This
I don't think the writer
play.
Was that unbelievable. I definitely think I would have asked for like a ton of sushi. One day when I actually have a writer, I'm going to be like, it needs to be really great sushi, a poke bowl. You know, I love like, I'm a raw meat kind of girl. So I love an ahi tuna situation. I love a calamari.
Yeah.
I love a lobster head. Like we should ask for a seafood tower.
Seafood. Yeah, please. Seafood tower.
Send me Ooh. A seafood tower. Send me, and you probably ask for like a card game or a couple of board games
See,
to the room. Like, what would you need backstage to have a good time?
To have a good time? I mean, get me a PS5, please. Like, have a
to
PS5.
The room.
To the room.
To the
Just
room.
Set it up, but you can return
Catan.
It. Just get, you know, they always, or nonprofits, they always hire like right out of college, like young people who are trying to, you know, make a difference in the world. And they pay them shit. Just, you know what? Buy a PS5, put it in the room, and then give it to one of them because they're living in some sort of like cheaper housing and they're probably having a terrible time.
Oh, God.
And they have to go to like dollar beer nights and it's just very miserable. They're fucking everybody that they see.
Jesus. Who is this?
No, I was just saying nonprofit, young nonprofit workers.
And this, you know this from experience.
Yeah, probably.
Was you fucking a lot when you worked for a nonprofit?
I think so. I mean, yeah. Compared to now. Just kidding.
Oh. You have something you want to share on the mic? You was fucking more as a nonprofit broke worker?
And is it because like sex is freer?
Sex with me is expensive now?
A little more so.
What does sex with me cost? Baby. What is a night of
it's
pleasure
It's like you
got to
get
Amber?
A babysitter. Like, and
oh,
then,
we don't get a babysitter every time we have sex.
No, I'm saying you get a babysitter so I can take you out to eat because that's the foreplay. The foreplay is like, the foreplay when you're married starts at 10 a.m. Like, I got to do the dishes. I got to clean
starts
shit.
At brunch. Yeah, yeah, because I'm not giving you that good unless you
it's like,
tie
yeah,
me
because
up around
if
the
you're
household.
Not, if you're not feeling me, you're like, okay, did we have a good business day today? You're not going to fuck me.
So your goal every day is like, we have to make sure this bitch had a productive
yeah,
day.
Yeah, if I want to get some yum-yums, I have to make sure that the house is organized, clean, and that you feel that you've produced the TikTok, that we have outlines for the podcast, that you've edited a YouTube video, you've, you know, done some emails answering, maybe we've planned, you know, future trips or whatever. Things got to be put together. You got to get your ducks in a row.
But then by the time you've done all that, like, I came upstairs last night, I was like, ooh, maybe Ben wants to fool around. You was knocked out.
I was tired. Yeah, because it's sort of a catch 22. I got to do these things to fuck, but to do these things, I end up too tired to fuck.
It's almost like I planned this.
Anyway, Saucy, keep doing you.
Oh, speaking of fucking.
I hope this nonprofit isn't like, we support something that is probably really dear to my heart, like supporting like trans kids or something.
It probably is. You want to look it up?
Man, I'm going to have to regret. No, don't look it up.
Well, it's been saying just like nonprofits, so maybe they're trying to like hide their identity. I just don't think it's cool like to leak somebody's rider. This, yeah. I got this, my reference for this is TMZ, and if you want to see this rider, just, you know, Google it, check it out. But now they'll probably have to update it.
All right, let's move on to...
Speaking of having sex.
Yeah.
Today for our Imperfect Parent segment, it's really a debate. Because I am in the process of trying to convince Ben that we're ready for baby number two, or ready to start trying and start thinking about it, which I'm sure is exciting some listeners out there. But Ben is not that girl, not having it. Okay, Ben, what is your biggest situation right now?
For me, it's about a sliding scale financially.
Sliding scale?
It's a sliding scale.
What are you talking about?
All right, let me break it down to you. For me to have a child, I need to have a certain amount of financial stability. And that financial stability is based on a sliding scale of where I live. Right now, we live in L.A.
Yeah.
And the expenses of living in L.A.
Yeah, money goes
are fucking in, unreasonable right now. So having another kid would just add so much financial strain. If we were still living in Chicago, I'd say let's do it. Like right now, if the amount of money that you spend in Chicago is significantly lower, public transportation is a little bit easier, so we don't spend as much money on Ubers. Yeah, so if we're in Chicago, baby number two, 100%.
Wait.
If we were in Georgia right now, I'd say we would be on baby number three. If we were living in Athens, we'd be on baby number three right now because it's a sliding scale. If we're in New York City, I would minus a baby.
What do you need, without saying a dollar amount, what do you need in L.A. to have baby number two? You just need to own a house.
Yeah, so it'd be owning a home, a certain percentage of the home as well. Not just having the down payment and the home in your name. You need a certain...
Oh, Ben, for fuck's sake, though, I'm 32. Like, it just gets a little bit younger. Harder when I get... Get younger is your solution to this. So,
or, no, get richer, I should say. Get richer.
So we cannot... let me be clear. We can't have a kid until we not only own a home, but only own a certain percent of that home.
Yeah.
Are those your big two?
Yeah. And we have to have a certain percentage, a certain dollar amount for our retirement.
Those are big things.
They are big things. But we would have those things quicker if we live in Georgia. So if you really want a baby, you got to...
No, I'm not moving. I feel like we're doing really well
here. We're doing great here.
So we're
but we're not to the point of getting for baby number two. I think maybe 2 years from now, if things keep going the same, I don't get canceled, you don't get canceled, we could be on baby number two. Give me a year.
2 years from now?
Yeah, maybe a year. A year. I think we could do it in a year.
Okay, which one is it? You just said 2 years.
Do it a year. Well, it would be 2 years because you get start in a year.
Yeah, the pregnancy itself takes about a year.
Mm-hmm.
9 months is slick a year.
Yeah.
So you would be happy starting a year from now?
If you continue to make the money that you're making.
Got it. But what if a year from now, I'm making good money, but we don't own a house, which is very realistic. Housing here is insanely expensive.
Yeah. So this is why I tell anybody who wants to get married, you really got to have these conversations before you get married.
And not on the
air. You got to see a big thing. And this is why when I do give marriage counseling, when people come to me and say, hey, like, what should I have ready? Say, listen, there are very important conversations that Amber and I never had until we started a podcast. So I'd say start your relationship podcast before you get married.
Here's the thing about it. You know how we are, Ben. We are so like fun and freeing and impulsive. Yeah. Like, obviously we're not irresponsible, but if you make up in your brain, like, we need to own a home and then we live in another country for a year, it's kind of like, well, this is kind of a moot point now.
Yeah.
You don't, you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Now, I agree that
what change my mind?
I'm not trying to change your mind. And I can definitely wait. I would hate to wait until we own a home and then it's like harder for me to get pregnant at like 39, whenever that happens.
Well, 39 is not in 2 years, which is what I said. So
I know, but it could happen. And like we could potentially not own a home for another. So you're saying, what is the minimum time you'd be willing to start? Like, what's the shortest amount of time you'd be willing to try to start
having? A year.
Without the restraints of the housing situation.
Yeah, so once
you did
we
the
hit
the same
that
thing with Wild Ben.
But we got the house.
Yeah, but you
and then you have
Ben, I have to find it. It's in my notes section somewhere. My phone is being used to record the podcast. But like you had a list of like 10 things that had to be possible.
And then it was negotiable.
You were like, I need to have my PhD if we're gonna have a kid.
Yeah, that
I
never
need
happened.
I've told you so many times.
I can go back to that too. Yeah.
Right.
No, that I did have a ridiculous list.
It
was an unreasonable list.
It wasn't unreasonable. I just think you can, and we're gonna get into this with a letter soon. Maybe I'll do that later first. You can still achieve goals with kids. I just want to let, like,
sure.
So you keep being like, well, I can't have a kid until I have a PhD. It's like, my mom got her PhD and she had all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
I'm
look
just
how
saying,
well you turned out, I guess.
Dr. Martin Luther King marched on Washington with four of them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That's what you have to remember. That's what I always tell myself when I'm thinking like, dang, this is a hard one kid. He did, well, I guess Coretta was like Haley did. I did everything, whore. But I'm just saying, he achieved some of his greatest accomplishments with four children in tow. So we can run a podcast and make
TikToks and
YouTube.
If our podcast gets to 30,000 downloads.
Oh my God. All right, you heard it here first, folks.
If our podcast gets 30,000 downloads per episode, we'll start trying for baby number two.
This is cringe.
This
not
is manipulation.
Babies. Not content babies, y'all.
Content
oh my
babies
gosh.
For sure. Or how about you get 3 million followers on TikTok, baby number two. So you got to double your followers. It's possible.
Because in your brain, you're like, that's doubling the income.
Yeah. Make sure if
this
you
is
hear
cringy,
this.
Y'all. I'm not co-signing any of this. This is the next reason why we're going to go viral and be canceled. I'm telling you. Mark my words.
So if you want to see more interracial babies in the world.
No. Oh, stop. This is getting cringier by the second. Stop your lies right now. You stop. You stop that. Don't tell people that.
Because they'll
be like,
all right,
everybody download this right now.
I know. I sort of make jokes about cringy interracial people, especially white dudes who date black women. They can be so funny. Like
to make fun of.
Yeah. Well, just embarrassingly funny for the white.
You the one sitting there posting up with your Grace Jones shirt talking about white boys that love black women. Like you not the damn president of the club.
You know, I was thinking, you know how like black people sort of create culture?
Know how black people create cultural words? Yes,
yeah,
I'm familiar with that.
So like cool, like we real cool, Gwendolyn Brooks.
We real cool.
Yeah, we real, you know, you ever listen, know that poem, Gwendolyn Brooks?
I do not, All I'm right, not familiar yeah. with that poem.
Yeah,
I didn't know that black
dope.
People invented the word cool. I can see
yeah,
that happening,
yeah.
but okay.
Yeah. And so I was thinking, like,
oh God.
I want to do a white version of that.
No!
So I was thinking, instead of, because white just has such a negative connotation, you know, like white power, I was thinking we could do, like, chalk power. Like,
chalk.
I'm chalk. I'm the chalk to your blackboard type of thing.
Oof.
Cringy.
You need to stay in the house, man.
Cringy.
Why do I let you out the house?
I don't like to be described as white. I prefer chalk.
Why don't you like white? You better rep your hood. You better rep your set. You heard it here first, folks. Ben no longer identifies as white. He identifies as chalk. Okay. Let's talk about
By
marriage.
Way, I
gotta,
I feel like I gotta say this
today.
Is that this is a joke.
This is a joke, yes.
I'm being funny, and sometimes Amber let me know is that sometimes I use words in an ironic sense.
And people don't know you're joking.
But
yeah.
Sometimes people don't know I'm joking.
Yeah.
Because there's levels to my irony. And my irony is just so deep and complex that it just not everybody knows. All right. We should move on before I punch myself in the face.
No, don't. I mean, I fell in love with your humor. I think it's funny, but I guess if somebody doesn't know you, they're like, this dude is freaking horrible. So we did have one question. I was going to make this one second, but since we started talking about it, somebody else was asking, saying like, hello, I'm 26. Oh, this is called Marriage Do's and Don'ts, the part of the show where you write in and tell us any of your dating relationship questions, marriage questions, singlehood questions.
It's do's and don'ts because, you know, we don't have to do marriage. You said marriage do's and don'ts. We just call the segment do's and don'ts.
Right, right. Do's and don'ts. And so write in with any questions you have. And this person, oddly enough, was asking about children. So this person writes, hello, I'm 26. I work from home for the state of California. I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years. No children yet, but we're talking about it in the next few years. I wonder if a switch will ever go off in my mind that says, okay, I'm ready to have a baby. My question is, how will I know if I'm ready? Now, this person is 26. They work from home. They've been with their boo for 3 years.
Can I get graphic for a second?
Ooh.
So if you only know when you're ready. So if you're like,
oh God,
you're getting pounded and you're like,
oh God,
like without a condom. And you're just like, all right. And he says, can I come in you? And then you just say, yeah. Like, I feel like, yeah.
That's when you know you're ready.
No, that's terrible.
Can I get graphic?
Terrible fucking advice.
Sadly, realistically, a lot of people, that is the whole entire thought process that goes into planning for kids, which I will say this, as much as I make fun of you about having these like ridiculous expectations for going into family planning, I feel like you and I did a super, super great job about having some very intentional conversations before I had Wild and we started, you know, raising her and doing things. So we talked about, I'm not going to give an age of readiness, obviously, like as much as I want to believe like I'm this millennial woman that can do it all. Like sometimes biology doesn't really make that happen. If the longer you wait, sometimes I know that sounds shitty to say, but it is harder to get pregnant over 35. It's not impossible. I know plenty of women that have had children.
42,
40s, and yeah. Of course. It's just a little bit more challenging. And then you know you might start trying, and then you might need IVF and things like that. It can be a little bit difficult. But I will say the biggest thing that was helpful for us was actively saving money for Wild. That was huge because that sort of showed like how serious we both were about having her. I think what Ben and I did specifically was we went online and we Googled how much does it cost to support a child in their first year. So we were talking like hospital bills, everything. And it depends on where you are, what state,
where you live.
We currently live in a place where we have to pay every time somebody watches Wild. Maybe you live around the corner from your parents or things like that. But I think you should Google. I would tell anybody this, straight families, gay families, anybody who wants a family plan, I would say Google how much it costs to support and raise a child in their first year and do your absolute best to save up to that dollar amount. I would say that is something that we did that was super helpful so that we can just, and of course people are going to buy you gifts for baby showers and stuff, but I think it showed Ben that I was ready to do this with him. He was like, oh, you eating out tonight? We're saving for the baby fund. We're saving for the Wild fund tonight. And so I was like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
And so when we were maybe like, you know, $1,000 shy of that goal or whatever, we started trying. I think should I say how much we saved? I feel like we saved like $14,000 or something like that.
Yeah, for Chicago. That's really, really great advice, Amber.
I think so. And a lot of people are like, you don't have to save a dollar amount to have a baby and things like that. You don't. I just think that for Ben and I's level of commitment and what we were trying to do, it was super, super helpful to have that money to tap on. And this was before, you know, we moved to LA and we were making, you know, a decent income. This was still when Ben was teaching middle school.
And you were working at a yoga studio.
Working at the yoga studio. And we were still able to like save $14,000 or $15,000.
No, actually, no, you were not working at the yoga studio.
Maybe I was laid off.
No. Yeah.
It was a pandemic.
No, this is, I think when you started getting brand deals. I think when you started.
Yeah, but they weren't like.
They were enough to be like, okay, I'm comfortable. And we were also living in Chicago at this time, so things were a little bit more reasonable Chicago.
That's very true. I just think some planning needs to happen because I hate when people are like, just have them whenever. Yeah. And I'm like, no, because when things get hard and money gets tight, like I need to be able to support my family. So money can be relative and riches can be relative. But I think it is so important to have intentional conversations about
funding
a baby.
And yeah.
Funding, having a baby, funding. How we're going to discipline our kids, how we're going to love our kids. Because remember, yeah, we talked about, I was like, I was all for spanking her ass. Mm-hmm. You know, not violently throwing her across the room, but just yeah, like, you know. And Ben was like, I'm not comfortable with this. So we had to talk about that. So it just depends. Like, make it work for your family. But
I also wanted to stay home. I wanted somebody to stay home.
Yes.
And I wanted money to, like, take her to swim lessons and take her to special events. And so that was something that was really important to me. Music lessons is very, very important. So I wanted to make sure we had income for that. And that's 100% disposable income. Not everyone, your values are going to be different. Maybe your way of giving them education, take them to church because that's free. Church is a beautiful, powerful, you know, social tool to like bring people up with music and social, you know, meeting other kids. But for me, it was like music lessons, swim lessons, these other things that do cost money. So yeah, funding, man. Talk about funding.
Yeah, I think that it just showed me because I am the person in our relationship that has a harder problem, it's harder for me to save money. Like, you know me. I'm like, okay, I'm committed to saving, Ben. And I'm like, ooh, what a cute bathing suit. I need it for the summer. So it was I was much more motivated to save when it's like this, like, I think we named it the baby fund. And
we opened an account and named it the baby fund. Yep.
Yeah. So that's just something we did. And I feel like financially speaking, that worked really well for us. And like I said, we do not live near family. Every time we want to go on a date, we have a last minute meeting. We have to pay somebody to watch Wild. So that was super helpful for us. So we'll probably, and Ben's right. Like, obviously I don't want us to have to wait until we can afford to buy a home in LA. Cause who knows when that will be. But I definitely think if we're talking about baby number two, we're going to have to save again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go into letter number two. All right, this is kind of a lengthy one. I cut here and there where I can, but some of the context that I left does really matter. Dear Amber and Ben, I want to have a relationship with my in-laws, but it's been 5 years of hell.
Oof.
He and I have been together for 5 years, married for 2, and we even have a son. We had a son in April 2022. Yay. Same. I'm saying that because of Wild. And nothing has changed. Oh, my goodness. A little background. He's Haitian American, and I'm African American. I met his family at his college graduation dinner, and they barely spoke to me there. Later, I asked why no one spoke to me, and one of his sisters said they didn't know what to say to me. When we got engaged in 2020, his family didn't want us to get married because they felt like we weren't ready. They wanted to micromanage the wedding shower, and me and one of his sisters got into a heated argument. We got married in 2021. The family came to the wedding, but none of them spoke to me there. My family paid for the entire wedding. We announced our pregnancy. They got excited, but didn't want to help with the shower, with planning, or financing. The only time they see our son is on family holidays, even though they live 30 minutes away. Listener also shared that, like, it's just difficult for them to pack, you know, a 1-year-old in the car with all the stuff, but they invite the family over, mm-hmm, even though they're 30 minutes away and nobody takes them up on this offer. I know it hurts my husband and I would like a relationship with them. I had to unfollow them on social media, and then one of his sisters saw that I unfollowed, and then she blocked me. I'll take any tips or advice because this has been hell. So we got, you know, you and me, we got in-laws. What say you, Ben? I'll let you go first.
Man, why do I gotta go first? This is such a sad situation. Yeah. I honestly think maybe you should unblock them, but maybe you had to do that for your mental health. But if you unblock them, just be like, okay, I'm unblocking you so that you get to see your grandbaby, because maybe I can't fuck with you and with you in person. Sorry, my mouth is like super dry. I wasn't trying to like go into Ebonics.
I think that happened though.
Yeah, my mouth is dry, so I went shh.
So you get blacker when your mouth, right?
So, yes, I think you should. I'm going to drink some water. have social media as just a thing that you do for them, and man, I'm sorry. This stinks.
I got something.
All right, go for it.
Hear me out. Okay, just hear me out. Here's how I feel about it. outside of this situation, our husbands, I don't know what it is, and I'm speaking just for like husband-wife dynamics. Please call in if you're saying like, no, this happens to me and I'm a lesbian, I have a wife. I have learned, even from talking to my mother and from my experience with my husband, that men, men sometimes don't take the charge in navigating and upkeeping certain relationships, mm-hmm. namely with their family. I'll start with you, for example. Whenever it is your parents' birthday or some holiday is rolled around for our nieces and nephews, I have to remind you, yeah. even if it's your parents or your family, that, you know, your mom's birthday is today, text. Yeah. You know, your dad's birthday is today, call.
Or I even have my Father's Day card that I got to send him.
Yes, and still in the car. We're a month past Father's Day yeah. now. So I have to do, even though it's Ben's family, I have found, as Ben's wife and partner, I have had to do a lot of managing of helping Ben maintain relationships with his family. Okay? My mother does the same thing for my father. Please sound off in the airwaves if you're like, I do the same thing with my husband.
Yes,
you are getting better.
Thank you.
But this is something that...
My ego got hurt a little bit.
No, this is... It's not because you love them any less. It's because women sometimes are just better at maintaining friendships. When we miss our friends, yeah. we call them. When we miss our family, we call. We FaceTime. You know how often I FaceTime my mom and my sister? It's like daily. Where sometimes you'll be like, I should call my family member. They've called me 5 times.
Yeah.
So I say that to say sometimes, for whatever reason, women are really great at just like navigating friendships and familiar relationships, okay? My mother does this for my father. My father's side of the family right now is planning a family reunion. My mom attends all the meetings, even though it's like my dad's side of the family. I want to admonish this writer to take a little initiative about maybe coming together with this family unit and charge it to your husband, okay? I would come to my husband, especially now that you got a baby. If this was you and your family didn't want to talk to me, I would say, Ben, I need you to pick a date on the calendar where we can go to your parents' house and we can sit down and just maybe have an honest conversation. It might be scary. We can discuss some rules about it, but I need to have a good relationship with them. Or at least I want to say, if I don't have a good relationship with them, I want it to be because I tried my damnedest. Because nobody, it feels like, and I'm not trying to discriminate against Haitian American people or Caribbean people or West Indian people at all, but maybe a little bit of this is like they wanted him to be with a Haitian girl and you're not Haitian. Maybe a little bit of it is that. Like some cultures are like, yo, you're Jewish. We thought you were going to marry somebody Jewish. Like it's a cultural thing. So maybe a little bit of their emotion is like, you know, we always thought that our brother was going to marry a Haitian woman. He talked about wanting this, and now he's with you, and we just don't know you, and we just don't get it.
You also don't know unless you sit down and have those kinds of conversations.
Correct.
So it could be in some other issue. Maybe they have some personal – maybe you said something personally to them that really – you know, offended them. And so you got to sort of air some of this stuff out.
Yes. I just think it needs to be intentional. It needs to be planned. Because I have had some very, very hard conversations with my family. And I remember thinking like, why has nobody just sat us down and talked about this? Like, why hasn't Big Mama or whoever talked about this? And I'm like, you know what? I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it. Even if it's Ben's family, I have to do it. So I have sat down and had a one-on-one with a sibling of yours. And I've been like, here's how this needs to go. Here's how I want us to communicate because we're going to be in each other's lives. I want you in my life. I hope you want me in your life. So let's talk about let's talk about the feelings and actually make action steps to improve the feelings.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to. Now, if they say like, we don't want to talk to you, it's been too much time. Like if you book a date on the calendar and say, I want to get closer to y'all. I want to talk about some of these like feelings. And they say no, at least you tried. But it is kind of hard if I'm his sister and then I go online, I'm like if one of your, Ben has 3 sisters and this writer said that her husband has 3 sisters and he's the youngest. If one of your sisters looked online and saw that I blocked them, I think that would be weird.
Yeah,
I think it would be strange if they unfollowed and they're like, she did not talk to us about this. I also love your sisters, so that would also be a little bit
strange. The only person you ever blocked is your mom, and you told her you're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. She was policing my content. She's like, why do you keep saying these cussing words? So I was like, I told her, I was like, I have to block you temporarily, and if you continue giving unsolicited advice.
Setting a boundary.
On me being a grown woman. I will continue to block you, but if you want to accept that your daughter is not little anymore and is a comedian and doing her own thing, and she's back now,
yeah,
but I have blocked my mother online before, and I'm sure all of us out there in the airways have had to block an auntie or somebody, but my mom's not blocked anymore. I say that to say, I think, even though it's his family, I would really encourage you to maybe go to a therapist and say, I want to initiate a family conversation. Like, can you tell me like what words I should use and what are best practices to have this? But I just know it's not going to get better if we just wait till the child's older. Like, it's not. Like, sometimes people are like, ooh, now if we have a child, this will be fixed. Like, everybody loves kids. Everybody loves weddings. And we've seen with each of these benchmarks that she laid out that it has not gotten better. So I know it sounds super scary, but if it was your family, I would say, is everybody free on the 15th? I would love to do a Zoom call. I would love to do an in-person call because I've been feeling a little bit left out of this family and I want to be a part of this family.
I love that. Yeah, make it a Zoom call so that the barrier of, you know, getting in the car, driving out there, or them getting in the car, driving out to you is sort of present, you know.
And that's slick. That also might be where you find out that your husband, no shade, that might be where your husband has misconstrued some things. Because I've had a family meeting with you and I'm like, oh, that's what you said to them? Well, that was unclear. I see now why they feel this way about me based on this. You know what I'm saying? Because you're their little boy or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I could see you getting in that big family meeting and then his mama or somebody saying like, you know, when he was little, he always talked about having a Haitian woman and dating someone who can cook Haitian food. And we don't feel like you've tried to bridge that gap. And then I could say like, oh, I see.
Well, again, this is speculation.
This is all
because you don't know anything.
I'm speculating.
You don't know anything until
I have Haitian friends. I'm really not trying to come for Haiti. I really am not. I just think like it could be. I've also had Haitian students in the past. And so I could just tell sometimes even with like, you know, we wanted you to have a wife that speaks our language. It could be something very simple. We wanted you to have a wife that speaks like a little French, a little, I think they speak
Creole.
French, I hate it. French Creole or something like that. Oh, just drag me if I'm getting all of this wrong.
Again,
but my Haitian student spoke
French. The point
is
that you don't know, until you talk.
Yep.
So
and maybe you learn in that meeting, they're like, we really just wanted someone who wanted to taste our dishes and wanted to do that. And you're like, you know what? How about I come over next Saturday and we make blank?
Yeah.
Y'all teach me how to make it.
Also, something that I tell everyone to do is like FaceTime your family. Just do it. Give them a call. Give them a call. I FaceTime my mom pretty regularly.
Is this camera?
Yeah, I do. Mom, please comment. Comment and
what would you call regularly? Because that even that's relative.
I call her once a week. That's regular.
You call your mama once a week.
Once a week, I FaceTime her with Wild when I'm walking.
Okay.
Or when you're out and about,
I
FaceTime her. Most of the times you're not there.
But how often do I call my mama?
You're like every day. I mean,
every day.
You're a little codependent when it comes.
No, I just like giving them updates. I like my. I mean, I'm not trying to drag your mama, but my parents are also very entertaining. Like, you know, my sister and us, we'd be talking about family tea, and then we'll talk about like, ooh, did y'all see where everybody went to the BET Awards?
Yeah. You're pretty tight with them. There was definitely a point in my life where maybe I talked to my parents once a month.
Yeah.
Maybe like once every other month.
Yeah.
But you were never. You've always been very communicative with your family. So,
yeah.
You're right. Now I'm a little bit more so because.
Yeah, but sometimes I'll say like, Ben, Mother's Day is coming up. I'm gonna order your mom some flowers.
Yeah.
Do you want to pick out whatever thing? I'll order them because they're from our family.
Yes.
Like she's my mom now too. So I would really encourage you. Please sound off about what y'all think about this. But like, even when it comes to your partner, like your family is my family.
Your
people are my people. So just take initiative. Yeah.
Why are men just a little worse at keeping relationships going? I remember reading something about this.
Yeah.
Where men, because they're more privileged, they don't have to rely on like social relationships for support in the way that women do because of the gender gap as far as like wealth equity and misogyny.
You
so
know,
like it being a man's world, you require.
Like I don't have to maintain these friendships.
You don't have to maintain friendships for emotional support, and also men are not conditioned to.
I think
be
it's
expressive
that.
Of
I think it's a little bit
emotions.
More
so, I think those are two reasons why. So I'm like I'm just not as like conditioned on expressing my emotions. I have the same emotions as Amber. Oh boy, do I have the same emotions as Amber, but I'm just not as versed, or maybe I wasn't given as much freedom to express those to like family and growing up or whatever. And I mean, probably a lot of men are. And that's sort of changing, hopefully, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. But you should call, like, if you had to think about one friend you could call this week, like, can you think of somebody you would call and they'd be like, everything okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because you have those friends. Yeah, yeah. Because we'll go to those locations. You'll be like, hey, so-and-so, I'm in town.
Yeah,
y'all come
and literally, yeah. And they'll come through and we'll hang out. We'll talk. And, yeah, I do have that friends. I don't know.
Whereas I have girlfriends. I'm like, girl, Friday, come on, let's get to the gym. We're hanging out just a little bit more regularly. But I think I really want to encourage you. Like, I hope you don't feel like, damn, why I got to do everything. But I really, really want to encourage you that, like, you can lead this conversation. Even though it's his family, like, just make sure that he, you know, like, actually follows up with them. Like, well, why don't you text them on a chain as well? But he needs to, like, help out a little bit. But just book it. Put that date on the calendar and y'all have that hard talk. You ready to move on to Shelfie?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot my book.
This is the section of the show where we talk about what we're reading, what we're watching, and how that's, you know, impacting our lives. So I watched this film called Demons. It was incredible. And it's basically where it's this Italian film, I think.
Okay.
But it's all in English, and all these people go to a movie theater and they watch this movie, and then they all start getting possessed. But the movie is so cool because the way people die in it are incredible.
So it's like The Ring.
Yeah, but just horror. Like at one point, someone gets their hand caught in a motorcycle tire and dirt bike, and it like rips off, and it's real effects. So you see like, you know, a little cut that explodes and turns
it's
into
it's giving John Carpenter vibes.
Very much John Carpenter.
Oh, it's in Italian. Lamberto Bava.
Okay. Oh, man. This movie, and Wilde and I watched it, and it was so much fun. But you know what I realized? So I was watching it, and the way people get possessed is they put on this, like, Japanese samurai mask, and it cuts this person, and then they become possessed. I was like, oh yeah, this came out in the 80s. And I realized that at this point in the 80s, there became a huge transition from the Red Scare of like terrified of the Soviet Union to what they term as like the Yellow Peril. So at this point, Japan was, I know, Yellow Peril. It's
got it.
It's, yeah, that's what
I figured.
Called.
You saw my face go like, yeah. Oh, no.
So Japan at this point, huge anti-Japanese sentiment. Japan at this point was expanding their business. And so as a way, Reagan started to Reaganomics started to turn aggression towards Japanese culture.
Okay.
And so you sort of see this in the films and the books that are coming out around this time. Tom Clancy comes out with a book that deals with like these, faulty Japanese engines that were like causing people to die. And then there's a book called Rising Sun by Michael Crichton that deals with like the terrors of like the alienness of Japanese businessmen. And it became a way of like othering.
Yes.
And so this film sort of becomes this reflection because it's like this symbol of like power and honor starts to possess all these Italian
So it's still anti-Japanese.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was.
There's a way you could read into it. The film is well loved. It's really cool, but it's a way when you start to dig into some of these films, you start to realize, oh, this becomes a reflection of that time, of that,
terror.
And it was so I started to think about that. And there's
when did y'all watch this?
Watched it maybe a little while ago. When I cook and you're upstairs, I've been watching a lot of horror films.
Oh, yeah. I came downstairs. I was like, why are y'all watching Chucky? Why are y'all watching Child's Play? As you're like just flipping over the pork ribs.
Flipping over the pork ribs. Like a good slasher film teaches me how to cut up meat differently.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a good joke.
That's
right?
Kind of funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I like that. I like that.
I don't know. Yeah. I've been, being in LA, you start to like look at movies a little bit differently. I've started to be more intentional about like film criticism and reading books about film and you know, you read a whole book about like queer, like trans representation in film,
yeah.
and you start to watch films, closely watch films, not just something pure entertainment, and started to see the symbolism. And I saw that. So I love Demons. It's a great film, but I saw this element of like anti-Japanese within the film.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, you're reading a book. What are you reading?
You have me more. I was truly listening to you. You got me a little interested in potentially watching that and seeing those sentiments.
Can I say the first person who gets possessed is a black woman, and she has the coolest kills. She becomes a main character.
I was like,
so she has this great.
Here we go.
But so she's shown throughout the film as like one of the main villains. And so yeah. she gets to kill a lot of people for a 1985 slasher of this time, and to have a black woman being like the main villain, I think was interesting. I think we could probably, you know, discuss a little bit about it. But you're reading Detransition, baby, right?
I am. I was just thinking about that when you were even talking about like anti-Asian sentiment. If I don't know if y'all remember this, but. Licorice Pizza came out in 2021. It was the one starring that sister from Heim.
Mm-hmm.
And people criticized that film saying it has some like anti, I have not seen it. I just remember this coming out of reviews. It said something about there being some anti-Asian sentiment there, but I think that was also making a commentary on like, well, no, we weren't just being anti-Asian for the sake. This movie was supposed to be set in 1973, which was how people were talking about Asian people at the time, or how people were referenced, or people had almost like a fascination with Asian culture, like feng shui, but the people were still being like persecuted and discriminated against.
Yeah, it's the American tradition of being racist.
Yes, you know, of course.
And choosing certain groups depending on the time, right? Like, I think when we think about like specifically anti-Japanese sentiment within the U.S., we think of
internment camps.
Yeah, but that was the extreme. That has sort of existed throughout history, the U.S. history.
Right, of course.
And I think a lot of the time we talk about American racism at these isolating instances of like,
or even
this
like
thing,
movie
this
being
thing.
Slammed for being anti-Asian. And I was like, I have not seen it. I just remember that being one of the biggest criticisms of the film. And I was like, people were definitely anti-Asian in 1973. People are anti-Asian now. So but sometimes we can't discern between like, is this a commentary on something or is this movie not being intentional? Like, I don't know. You know. But we'll watch it. We'll watch it at some point. We'll watch Licorice Pizza and Demons at some point. I am currently reading Detransition Baby by Tori Peters, who's also a trans author. Oh, this story is so well written. It has my complete and absolute attention. I have been cheating on TV with this book. And it's a really interesting concept.
That's a fun way of saying it. Cheat on TV more often with a book,
yes,
everybody.
Yes, I've been cheating on yoga with the gym as well. The gym is kind of my new lover now over yoga classes. But this book is essentially about, I'm not going to spoil too much, obviously. But, okay, if you can think of these, I'm going to just do a little bit. So there were two main characters. It was Amy and it was Reese, okay? These are both trans women who fell in love. So they were like lesbian lovers, right? Reese wanted a baby, Amy didn't, and they also had some other issues going on, like they weren't compatible. So Amy and Reese break up. You still with me? Amy detransitions. So she transitioned into being trans and then it just got like too hard. It was just too unsafe. It was too hard to wake up every morning and try to live her most authentic self. So she transitioned to a man, back to a man, and now goes by Ames. Okay. So we got Reese, who still lives as a trans woman. Amy used to be Amy, now Ames. Ames has impregnated another woman named Katrina. And then eventually Ames has to say, like, just so you know, Katrina, like, I didn't think I could get people pregnant because I was taking these, you know, estrogen and then back to testosterone. And I really didn't think I could have kids. But like, I clearly can have kids and you're pregnant now, Katrina. Katrina kind of doesn't want a baby. So now Ames is essentially proposing to Katrina, like, how would you feel if, you know, we raised this baby in a triad with my ex-lover, Reese. Because it's like, we just kind of hooked up. Like, like Ames cares for this other lady, but no, he loved Reese, you know. Mm-hmm. And all Reese wanted, as sort of a marker of her trans, of her, a marker of her womanhood, all Reese wants is a baby and mm-hmm. a family. And so,
so it explores
yes.
the triad
yes.
of relationships. And then
right.
the book also explores the process of detransitioning and why they would do that. Because I think when we hear detransition, we think of like conservatives say, hey, look at all
see,
these people
you
detransitions.
Were
yeah, see,
yeah, you shouldn't
but,
have
but
done
this,
it. Yeah.
The thing, this book is, I think the purpose this book is doing so well is that
yeah.
it explores it in a much more nuanced
Very
way.
Nuanced. So,
so
good.
So my question for you, Amber, is what celebrity would you raise a triad with me in?
It would have to also be a celebrity that wants a baby or I guess has a baby, right? Because I immediately thought of like Tracee Ellis Ross. Like I feel like she would be a good like, I got the baby, y'all go have fun. Like, like that would be a fit. But she's also like the child-free auntie living her best life. So I don't think she would want that. Maybe if Quinta Brunson and her husband were willing to like raise a child as like
so
a quad ad.
Okay.
I would love that. Like think about that. That's just tons of laughs, tons of joy.
I don't know who her husband is.
He hasn't been really like the focal point of her career. Like some people
does he have a person? I mean, I don't know his personality, so we would have to bring him in. Wonder if Quinta Brunson wasn't married. Then
it'd just be Quinta.
Okay, got it.
Let me think about somebody else who I think of as like nurturing, like a Tab Brown. Tabitha Brown would be a great.
But she has
like,
her own family.
She does have her own family, so
like,
I guess
yeah.
we would have to help with them.
Yeah.
With choice, and I can't. Oh my god, y'all kill me!
I wish triads were more of like a human thing.
Yeah,
you know, just every like,
people do
bands.
Them. They're just.
Yeah, they
I
do.
Guess I just can't think of any like people that have came forward and there is some level of like when you hire help to help you with your child, like and if that help stays with you the entirety of the
yeah,
child's
but that's,
life,
there's a power and difference.
Oh, of course,
there, right?
of so, course.
Where I think,
but I'm just
like,
saying,
ideally,
if you're counting the literal bodies yeah. of people helping to raise a child, it is. In the triad family. But yeah, no, the book actually, so we haven't gotten to the point, like we're at the point where Ames, former trans woman, is in the process of like separately proposing this idea of the triad to these other parties and then trying to bring together, I will, you know, I don't want to spoil for next week or anything like that, but yeah, it's just super interesting because Ames is going to Reese being like, all you ever wanted was a family and to be a mother. And I got someone pregnant, and I know that hurts you, but
this
like,
is a lot
this
of
is
plot.
Your opportunity to be a mother. And Katrina's like, I don't really want a baby. I still kind of want my career, but I don't want to, like, I feel a way about, like I could raise this baby.
Spoiler alert, everybody.
I haven't said what they've decided to do or anything, but it's just, like, a very interesting concept that you're kind of like, this isn't a horrible idea. Like, I don't know.
When you're reading about the triad, yeah.
It's gonna get messy. But yes, read Detransition Baby with me, or if you've read it already, be like, Amber, stop. You're spoiling so much. But yeah, read Detransition Baby. And I think that's about it, right, baby?
Yeah. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wallin. Make sure you give us a review on wherever you listen to your podcast. Share it
yep.
with a friend.
Yep.
And we'll see y'all later.
Next week, to be exact.
Yeah, next week.
Raise babies and triads. Bye, y'all.
You know they're from TikTok, because those laughs keep you coming, because they're wilding all the time. Before Wild throws a tantrum, they sing to our silly anthem, because they're wilding all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants. And Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wilding all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall. Leave.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.